I would like to, without further ado, let the minister, the remarks that he had prepared for us that are maybe related or non-related, depending on what he decided to speak to us about today.
Thank you very much. And I have to say this comment is, I know there's no representation from APTN here, but one of the things that drives me crazy, CBC does a very good job of keeping up to date, where APTN still calls Naujaat Repulse Bay on their weather report.
They're invited. Everybody was invited.
No, I'm not knocking. I had to say it out there. Sometimes we don't realize how, as Salome's saying, how important media coverage in the north is. It is one of our only connections that we have on a daily basis from within our territorial boundaries. But I just wanted to first, Jack's gone, I wanted to thank him for his really, his insight into how important community radio is. And I also wanted to thank Genevieve for inviting me to speak here. I appreciate that. And Salome, Patrick, and Claude, I very much appreciated the panel discussions. And I'm assuming Fanny and Charlotte are at the top there. I wanted to thank them for assisting in the hosting of this, and to thank all of you that have traveled here to Iqaluit to present here. When we were talking earlier about my role within the government of Nunavut, and as I mentioned earlier, I'm the Minister of Health, but I think even more importantly, I also have another hat that I wear. And as far as I'm aware, I'm the only one that wears that hat in the world that's come to my attention, is I'm also the minister responsible for suicide prevention. And that's what I kind of wanted to talk about here a little bit today on how it's a difficult topic, but how important media and community discussions have to play in that role. And I questioned whether it was a topic that was worth bringing up at this forum, but I think it is. When we're talking about policy development, and when we have people from the media world in the audience here, I guess I'll just go through my speech as it's a little bit more cohesive to my own ad libbing sometimes. But when we talk about suicide in Indigenous or Nunavut communities, and when I speak to community members, I'm determined to convey a sense of hope. And people in our communities are intimately involved in saving lives on a regular basis, but grieve the loss of loved ones in a way that is difficult to understand outside of Nunavut. They need to know that their work in building the capacity and saving lives works, and in tandem with some of the programs and services that we provide in the territory, we know it does work. But my message to you is significantly different. Media's role in communicating despair or hope, in part based on the reporters, editors, organizations' assumptions of Indigenous peoples, the lens with which the world is viewed. And for background, the government of Nunavut, Nunavut Tungavik Incorporated, RCMPV Division, the Brace Life Council, are partners in the Nunavut Suicide Prevention Strategy and associated action plans. And we've been working together since 2004 in developing programs, services, strategies, and research. But in 2015, the partners completed a literature review and study on suicide contagion, or clusters among Inuit youth. A key finding of which, and I wanted to share with you today, is the concern over Nunavut media sensationalism of suicide, and that might encourage suicide contagion. The report recommended that the media could be encouraged to adopt appropriate guidelines on suicide reporting to avoid glorifying or sensationalizing suicide. And I would suggest today that understanding our role in suicide prevention and creating safety requires lifelong learning for each of us. Since the inquest that we had here recently, reporting on suicide in the territory has been much more responsible. However, broadcasters carry national stories. The sometimes endless stories of crises everywhere have an impact on whether people believe they can access help here. And this is a challenge across mediums, radio, TV, online, film, even music, as we were talking about earlier. And myself, I can't recall a feature film about Inuit that did not contain suicide as a part of a storyline or a fact. Which is maybe a somewhat of a separate issue, but it is markedly different in the way that it's discussed. And I'd like to take the time to reference two specific films. In a film winning awards at festivals, an aimless young Inuk with substance abuse challenges, gets in a domestic disturbance, goes to court, incarcerated. Upon return to the relationship, issues continue. Later, the young person dies by suicide. I call this a colonial storyline. One where there is no protagonist. The viewer is led to believe that Indigenous youths have nothing going for them, and there is no way out of their situation. Occasionally, there is suggestion that Indigenous people can be saved by moving south or abandoning their culture. This is a documentary by non-Inuit. Imagine how the bereaved felt. Imagine how Inuit feel, being stereotyped and denied the right to living life. Being dismissed as just another number added to the suicide statistics that we suffer. While colonialism is a known root cause of suicide in Nunavut, over the years it has been common to hear Inuit being stereotyped, lamed, and shamed. Simplistic, casual analysis of suicide will lay blame on the deceased and point out their weaknesses. Yet 50 years ago, young Inuit did not die by suicide. Remnants of colonialism still exist in the way Indigenous people's stories are broadcast. The portrayal of Inuit as unintelligent, broken, or weak leaves a widespread feeling of disempowerment. And these feelings are magnified by comment sections of many online news stories surrounding Indigenous peoples where comments carry hurtful, harmful, and destructive language. Allowing racism marked as free speech is unacceptable and contributes to ongoing problems. Exposing the vulnerable through creating platforms that traumatize instead of heal is irresponsible. This is not the role of broadcasting. The second film I would like to share with you, Angry Inuk, by Alethea Arnakuk Beryl, is about the seal ban and the challenges Inuit face in being understood when anger is expressed so differently than in the mainstream culture. In this film, suicide is recognized as a symptom of oppressive economic sanctions, loss of an important food source, and the loss of culture. Angry Inuk expresses the desire of Inuit to live well. Viewers understand the importance of being informed and to support Inuit self-determination. And that speaks to the reason why we're here and where I felt this was a relevant topic. Morriso, Wheeler, and Deerchild, whom were at the Winnipeg event in February earlier this year, all suggested there is a need for broadcasters to have a mandate for Indigenous Affairs program that offer news and stories from the point of view of Indigenous peoples. The role of media, in my view, is that of great responsibility. And whether you agree or not, the media is responsible for transmitting values and educating. It is my hope that there be a deliberate shift to strengths-based, empathetic, yet fact-based style, informed by cultural awareness and competence. And the media has the opportunity to learn from history and work on respecting Indigenous people's ways of life, focusing on reporting in a responsible manner to transmitting Indigenous people's values that emphasize resiliency in life. Industry guidelines are a good start, such as mindset, but need to be expanded to address the systemic racism that exists. CBC has closed off comment sections in certain Aboriginal stories, which I commend. More still needs to happen in terms of representative reporting. Making more Indigenous produced programs needs to continue. The Native Broadcasting Policy 2, which is up for review this year, should see us move into a more just and equitable future. Broadcasters can continue to draw from local guidelines and report respectively and sensitively on suicide and other newsworthy issues. Indigenous peoples must be supported to take up the profession and ensure that our voices will never be lost again. I was very touched by some of Salome's comments on how difficult it is for people to get into the broadcasting field and how underrepresented we are and how difficult it can be to access training. So I was really touched by the amount of effort that you took upon yourself to get training, and I hope people follow that example and continue on. But I wanted just to continue with that. In our everyday interactions, communication is a foundation of relationships. Our choice of words and our language can either build or destroy a person. What, when, why, where, and how one communicates is important. That can save a relationship or a life. The need for Indigenous views and media broadcasting in Indigenous languages and Indigenous-produced media spaces, as well as the policy challenges in Canada for sustainable and autonomous Indigenous media, is real and has to be satisfied. Through our concerted efforts, the future therefore lies in our words, our stories, told our way. And I just wanted to close with, again, thanking the presenters earlier. I felt this was kind of a gray area of a topic of discussion, but I just wanted to really emphasize with your group on how important Indigenous programming and getting the viewpoints from Indigenous peoples is critical to dissuade the colonial viewpoints that sometimes get thrust upon us through media, through film, through radio, and how important community-level discussions need to occur. I apologize if it's kind of a dark topic before we all go for lunch, but it's something that I live with every day, and I take my role very seriously. And if I can be of some step forward in progressing people's perspectives on suicide prevention, not just in Nunavut, but everywhere, I'm going to take that opportunity and use that soapbox where I can. So thank you very much for having me. Thank you.